Okay, welcome back. We're here. Gonna be studying more about our prayer. We're up to page 15. We just got started. We had three songs: a song about coming to a shul and its significance, a song about Hashem, who he is to the best of our knowledge, and a song last week we discussed about the foundations of what we as Jews believe, the 13 foundations. And now we're about to start the next topic. And in order to do that, I'm going to give a little bit of an introduction because we're about to say a blessing. Blessings, brachos, we're going to use that word a lot. Brachos is kind of a subcategory, I would say, of prayer. We say blessings and brachos throughout the day, not part of formal prayer, at different times, which I'll explain when we say them. But it actually is also a large part of our prayers themselves. In fact, someone who says all the prayers will say about 88, not about, it actually depends, 88 to 92 blessings on an average day. Really depends whether they wear a tallis or tefillin or other small details like that to get that range of numbers. But somewhere around there, around 90 blessings, brachos, are part of davening itself. So it's certainly an important thing to understand well as we study about davening. And so let's discuss what it is. You can usually tell a bracha usually starts with the word baruch or ends with the word baruch. I don't mean the last word is baruch, but the last phrase. Think about, for those of you who are familiar, even most of the blessings of Shemona Esrei, the last phrase is a baruch. And sometimes it has both, a baruch in the beginning and a baruch in the end, like Asher Yotzar and Alamechia. We're going to get to all those terms for those of you who are not familiar at the appropriate times. But again, when it has that baruch, you can say, okay, that's probably, almost certainly, that is a blessing. We're going to define what baruch is, of course. But let's understand what brachos are. I guess we can even start asking questions. What are we blessing? Who are we blessing? Before we understand it, I think this will help shed light on it. There are actually three categories of types of brachos. Three types of brachos, and let's go through them. There's one category called Birchas Hanenin, let's go that way, which are blessings on enjoyments that we get in this world. That's what we're familiar with. Before we take bread, we eat bread or any other food, we make Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, different blessings for different types of foods. We will start with that. There are other types of brachos, which are Birchas HaMitzvah. Before we're about to do a mitzvah, we make a bracha too. And a third category actually doesn't fall into either of these. They are called Birchas HaShvach or Birchas Hodah, which means blessings of praise. Blessings of praise. So, like, we're not having pleasure from something. For example, when, we'll make a blessing soon about opening our eyes in the morning. It's not, yes, we enjoy that, but it's not called a Birchas Hanenin. It's not a blessing on about to have an enjoyment of this world. It's praising Hashem for this wonderful world he created. And again, we do some, a lot of them during davening, but there are blessings throughout the day and different life experiences we'll make brachos on. When a person gets married, there's a special bracha. When a person sees amazing sights, there's a special bracha. There's experiences all the time. And now what's interesting, they seem to be really three separate categories. And what we're going to have to understand is, what are we trying to do when we make a blessing? I think most people understand, to understand that we're blessing Hashem, that really leaves a lot of trouble. Why does Hashem need our blessing? If we're thanking him, well, that fits for a lot of blessings. But what about the brachos on mitzvos? Are we thanking him that he gave us a mitzvah? That's harder to understand. Mitzvos are obligations, things we have to do. not necessarily things that we're grateful for. Certainly, the language that we use when we are blessing a mitzvah is not thanking Hashem. It's saying that which you have made us holy and commanded us. It doesn't seem that that's what it's doing. So, oh, one more thing. Okay, so this, you could understand that they're separate topics. Okay, they're all called brachos, but they really have nothing to do with each other. There are three different types of brachos, nothing to do with each other, but it's not true. There is a Gemara, a piece of Talmud, a law that is that we should make 100 brachos every single day. Every single day, a person should make 100 brachos. It is explained that it has history to it. We're in the days of King David. There was a plague, and 100 people were dying every day, and he couldn't figure out why. And he somehow discovered that it was, he felt that this would be a good way to fix it by people making brachos. And he said everybody should make 100 brachos every day, and that worked, that stopped the plague. And when we say 100 brachos, we're including all these different types of brachos. So it seems that somehow they're all connected, that there's an idea of making brachos. What is that idea? What's this thread that pulls all these different types of blessings together? And my understanding is what you're really doing, I think it'll be helpful to use a different translation. Actually, as we go across our Siddur, it'll always say Baruch, and it'll say blessed are you Hashem. That's how all the blessings start or end. Blessed are you Hashem. It's not so accurate. And most commentaries, although I think it's simpler in the translation, that's why the translators use it. Most commentaries understand that you're not blessing Hashem, but you're saying that you Hashem are the source of blessing. That you are the source of everything, and everything that's good and everything that comes in this world is from you. And what brachos are really doing is sourcing things, telling us that where it came from. So when we have food, we say, okay, well, this, we actually mention, I ate bread, but the bread came from the ground. But where did the ground come from? Who created ground? Well, you know, someone put a seed in the ground, but who gave man the idea? Who gave man the seed? It's all back from Hashem. And we acknowledge that before we take a bite to eat. Similarly, mitzvos. Sometimes people lose track. They'll pick up their lulav and shake their lulav and esrog and think it's somehow about shaking the lulav and esrog. But we always have to remember that the reason we do that is because Hashem commanded us to. So before we take the lulav, we make a bracha. Hashem, you commanded me to shake the lulav. Don't get distracted by that. In fact, today there are added prayers that people say before they do a mitzvah that says, I'm about to do this mitzvah, like shake the lulav or light the Hanukkah candles in order because Hashem commanded. It's really just a longer version of what a bracha is. In fact, that's why there are some rabbis who say, don't say that long prayer, just say the bracha. That's what you're doing when you make a bracha. And of course, when we praise Hashem, we note the wondrous ways of the world, and we thank him. We're pointing out that all that wonderful parts of the world are coming from Hashem. So that is the idea of bracha. Sometimes people use the imagery, the word brecha in Hebrew, very similar to the word bracha, means a pool. And so we think of a huge pool of water, and that pool is like this spiritual gathering of Hashem's blessing, and all that baruch atah Hashem, you shower that upon us. Okay. And so that's what the word Baruch means. Although often we'll probably just simplify and say, blessed are you, Hashem. We don't really mean that. Hashem, you are the source of blessing. There's another very important part of blessings, brachos. And again, the first few words are almost always the same. Baruch atah Hashem. Or again, we're not going to say Hashem's name the way it's normally pronounced by a blessing because it's during a class. But the right way, there is a proper way to pronounce it. People, we should give a separate class on that. We're very hesitant to say Hashem's name. Oh, I never did discuss this. Maybe I should one time discuss how to pronounce Hashem's name. and why we pronounce it different. Okay, I think I'm gonna have to do it right now. A little change, of course, of what I was planning. But the name of Hashem is always pronounced Adonai. And even that, we're very hesitant. When we say Hashem, which is a name that's usually used, the word Hashem means the name. Okay, we're just saying it's the name that we don't want to pronounce. But even that name that we pronounce is not what's written in our Siddur, if you can't see it in the Hebrew. But in the Hebrew, it's a different letters. And if you were to say, if you know a little Hebrew and try to sound that out, we don't do that. But if you were to try to, it does not say the same word. And there is a source, a very old, the Gemara learns it from verses in the Torah, that Hashem has a way that he wants his name written and a different way for his name to be pronounced. And that's the name we use in every blessing, and it's all over. Hashem has multiple names, which means there are multiple ways of us relating to him, but this is a name that's very, very commonly used. And just to explain that in a very simple way, the written name of Hashem, if you look at it, again, we're not going to say the name because we never really say that name at all. But if you know what, if you want to know what it sounds like, so there are those who go around knocking door to door and disturb our dinners, and they call them, they're part of a different group, not us Jews. They call themselves J witnesses. So that first word, the J that they use, is basically how we would pronounce, we would replace the J with a Y. But that is the name if you were to pronounce it. We don't pronounce it. So we'll just say J witnesses because we don't even want to say that name. Not because it's bad, actually, because it is Hashem's name. Now, if you try to understand that name on a simple level, so you may recognize that the word actually looks almost like it's saying the word for was, something that was, but kind of. This is a little bit easier to do. We can see the letters, but the beginning of the words actually is very similar to the word will be, which is yihyeh. The word was haya, but it also kind of is with the word now, hove. And actually, this word is a combination of the words was, haya, hove, v'yihyeh, was, is, and will be. But they're stacked, they're not one after each other. All, there's only four letters. They're all stacked on top of each other, as if it's Hashem was, is, and will be simultaneously, all at one time. And that's kind of how we understood Hashem. Hashem is above time. He created time. He is the first cause, like we mentioned when we studied Adon Olam. Now, how does something was, is, and will be at the same time? Good question. I don't understand that either. And I think that is exactly why we don't say the name. We don't like to say things we don't understand. That is a word that we don't just not understand. It's so beyond human comprehension. We never say it on day-to-day basis. It was said in the times of the temple of the Beis HaMikdash, but we never say that name. You know what we do say? We say a different word. And even that, we treat with a lot of respect. We'll only say it in the course of study or davening or when teaching. So I'm going to use the name now so that we can learn from it. But I usually will just say Hashem. But when we're davening, we're going to say Adonai. What does that word mean? That word means my master. Ah, so you say, okay, I don't know, I have no idea what was, is, and will be at the simultaneously means. I can't even wrap my brain around that. But a master? Oh, I know what a master is. A master, a servant, or an employer, or whatever, a master. So he's just, Hashem is his big master. He's just master of everything. I got that. So that's why we change that word. So every bracha, that wasn't too long actually. Wow. Every bracha goes back and forth. Let me explain that. It starts with this a few phrases. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. That's those six words are the beginning of almost every blessing. When it comes to brachos that are a mitzvah, like we said, one third of brachos, Then it has another four words that we'll often hear, Asher kidishanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu. But those first four words are very interesting, and they really describe well a lot of the pattern of what davening is. So this is actually a very fundamental class. It's becoming that. I don't know if I was planning that before I started, but it's certainly becoming very foundational. If you've ever seen religious Jews davening, you'll often see them shaking back and forth. Ever wonder why they do that? In fact, there are religious Jews who do that and are not sure why they're doing that. Now, certainly it could be habit and they're just following those around them, but I think there's a deep reason for that. See, we have a very interesting relationship with Hashem. I'll give you an example. We have a great one of my great teachers, but not even my teacher, he's more of my teacher's teacher, senior man who really very wise and a lot of Torah in America rests on. So his name is, he lives here in Philadelphia, Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky. I had the opportunity one time to drive him, and I had my son, maybe he was 10 or 11 at the time. He had the opportunity, I offered him to come along with me, just some time, me, this rabbi, and my son. My son was very, very excited. I said, as we were getting ready, I said, you know, think about what you want to ask him. You could ask him about any Torah thoughts. You could ask him about anything from the Siddur, from prayer. You could ask him anything about life or just anything. And I said, you're thinking about it? Yeah, he's thinking about it. He gets in the car. We have about a 45-minute drive. And my son is silent the entire drive. Does not say a word. When it was all done and we dropped off our esteemed guest, I said, did you enjoy that ride yet? Do you know why you were quiet? And he had a hard time articulating it, but my understanding is that it was a kind of like fear. Now, it's not a fear that the rabbi would hurt him. You know, he wouldn't hurt a fly. He wouldn't be punished for saying the wrong thing. That wouldn't even be possible. It was just a kind of awe of being in his presence. And at the same time, all he wanted to do was to be there and be close to him and hear what he had to say. And that is really an example of the relationship we have with Hashem, or should have. Awe and fear, not fear of punishment, but just like trembling of the awesomeness of who we are contacting with. And at the same time, a love and just a closeness to Hashem. And so our shaking, it's called shuckling in Yiddish, when we sway, when we pray, that is this kind of, I always view it as they go back and forth, back and forth. I'm davening to Hashem. I'm getting closer because I want to be close to him, because I love him. And then I move away because I'm in awe and in fear. And I'm like, wow, too close. Move back. And close and further. Interesting, right? And while that's done physically when we daven, it's really in a lot of the words of davening. You'll see it a lot where we have this very close relationship where we tell him our secrets, our desires, our thoughts, and then back off and kind of give him the awe, respect that Hashem deserves. And every blessing really contains these two things. We sometimes talk to people in first person when I say you, and sometimes it talks about Hashem or people, I was saying. But yeah, let's talk about in the brachos, it talks in third person. And this bracha, if you would read it carefully, actually makes no sense. I say, you know, Baruch Atah Hashem. Hashem, you are the source of blessing. And I'm talking to Hashem. And then I say, He is our God, the King of the world. Wait, He is? It's almost like you're talking to someone else about Hashem. So it really is changing tenses. Are you talking to Hashem straight and say, You are so great? You are the King of the world? Or are you talking about Him? He is my Hashem. He is the King of the world. And we switch back and forth. And the reason is the same thing. When you talk to someone directly, that's more of a closer relationship. Okay, English doesn't have this very well, but I know Russian has this and Yiddish has this, other languages, where when you talk to someone that you respect, you talk in a more indirect third person way, and with someone you just a friend, you can talk casually. Again, America, English really copies American culture, where there is no difference between those kind of things, and people act casually with the most respected individuals. And so that's just the way the country we live in, for better or for worse. But a bracha has these two parts. So I start with Baruch, saying, "You are the source of all blessing." And then I go to Ata. Ata is you. Ata is you. I'm right in front of you. I'm talking directly to you in a very close way, in a way that I would talk only to casually to a friend. Then I say Hashem. And Hashem, like we said, is some concept that's so beyond our even understanding, we won't even be willing to say it, that Hashem always was, is, and will be. Then we go further and we say Elokeinu, our God. He's someone who we're intimately involved with. He is involved in our life. Melech HaOlam, the King of the world. And that is, again, I think that's covered basically the good introduction to all blessings. We'll do one today. Asher Kiddushanu, that He had made us holy. B'mitzvosav, with His commandments. V'tzivanu, and He has commanded us on the Tilas Yadayim, which means on the washing of the hand. It's actually, if you literally look at the words, it means something slightly different, but that is how it's translated, and that's how we'll understand it, on the washing of the hands. And this is something that we do, we wash our hands. We didn't, this blessing, bracha, we may recognize from when we wash our hands for bread, which is also the same bracha. Other than that, there are many times that Jews wash their hands. The only time they make a blessing is when they eat bread, and this one time in the morning. Now, there's a number of reasons why we wash our hands in the morning, and sometimes we'll even do it multiple times. You really need to do it multiple times, right? When you get up, one of the first things you do is to wash your hands in the proper way with a cup. I guess there are laws about that that we're not covering in this class, but we can cover in a different series. We wash our hands with this cup. Well, we may wash it. Certainly, we'll wash our hands after we use the bathroom, and there could be a few times that we wash our hands. We'll make one blessing, different customs whether to make that at home or in shul, similar to, like we said, a lot of the blessings, they can be done at different times. And we're saying that blessing on washing hands. Why do we do that? Well, there are really three reasons that are given for washing our hands. One is a little bit more spiritual, it's about some evil spirit, something that I'm not fully. A little bit harder to understand, but let's talk about two that are a little clearer. Is about every morning we are a new creature, and similar to the way those who study the laws or the concepts of mikvah, a mikvah is a rebirth of an individual, of a person, of water. So a little bit of water on our hands, water is a source of life. So when we wash our hands, we're kind of acknowledging that every night when we go to sleep, our soul leaves us. When our soul comes back in the morning, we're reborn. We have a new chance at life, and we can accomplish anything. So we wash our hands. The other source is that we're about to go and pray. We're about to go daven. And as a preparation, before our hands could be dirty from over the night, touching all sorts of things. In the morning, before we daven, we wash our hands. And here they compare it to how the Kohanim, the priests, when they would go service in the temple, in the Beis HaMikdash, they would wash their hands every time. And we, although we're not in the Beis HaMikdash, just going through our normal lives, actually we understand that those lives are holy and uplifted, and it's a kind of service in and of itself. So we have to wash our hands. So those are two separate ideas. The third one, again, is the spiritual evil spirit that rests on the hand, one that we're not getting into right now. The other two are either because it's a new day and we're a new person with new chances, or because we're about to go service, and before our life is a service of Hashem. And to prepare for that, we wash our hands. And this is the blessing. Again, all blessings are to remember the source of it all, the source of our everything we enjoy in this life, and also the source of the mitzvot. So we start with Baruch Atah, you are the source, and we have that back and forth, the relationship of how close we are with Hashem, and at the same time, what kind of awe. And we start this when we're up to this part of the davening, where we acknowledge that Hashem commanded us to wash our hands for one of those reasons, something we had done earlier in the day, and now we make the blessing on that. Okay, I hope you enjoy that. I think that's a lot to chew over. Please shoot back any feedback, any questions. Thank you very much for listening. For questions, comments, and sponsorship opportunities, please email us at rabbilindenbaum@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.